Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Born ready, William.
But this is a doozy, boys. We have another 2 weeks off. This is the Olafield's Fantasy Podcast. Lots of questions I have. We just had our little pre-production meeting. Great meeting we just had. And a lot of questions that didn't even get answered because we're saving them for the pod. We are going into the unknown in this beginning of March. Daylight savings time special coming up this weekend. Get ready to miss an hour of work because your automatic clock didn't get set forward, Jeff. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. I took a quick little nappy. Gooch is still napping right by my feet. I'm excited, Jeff. Are you happy to be here?
Happy to be here. Happy belated to the Gooch. He celebrated his birthday last week, I believe.
It was March 1st. Yes, March 1st.
March 1st. March birthday. Great month for a birthday, Gooch.
Some people would say so, yes.
I'm excited to be here, though, Will. We have a banger of a pod in the doldrums, kind of post-combine, before free agency. So if you were hoping for a lot of, you know, what did we see out in Indianapolis? What did we hear? You know, what was happening at the steakhouses, the late night parties? You're at the wrong podcast, folks.
There's plenty of other ones to go to for that information. But you're right. Doesn't matter if it's the doldrums because we got a hot pod. Hold on to your butts, Jeffrey. First off, let's just tackle the big subject that's all over Twitter, the internet, Facebook, Instagram. The memes are strong. Love is blind, Jeff. I assume you have some hot takes. I have a couple takes, but I guess we should just get yours off the chest because I've only seen the first three episodes. Kind of gotten a little snoozy. Hot start for me. Nick Lachey always brings it to start, and then kind of got a little snoozy. So give me a little recap. Give me some possible reason to keep trucking on with this show.
Well, for those who don't know, just a very brief overview of the concept of Love is Blind.
Everyone knows.
I mean, you're talking through walls, you're dating in pods. But for those who haven't watched, it looks like there's probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 guys and girls that go into this experiment. But it really centers on about six or seven couples. And they obviously don't see each other before. Which kind of gets to my first hot take, and I don't even know if it's a hot take, but all the people that they focused on are attractive individuals for the most part. There wasn't any, like, I don't know, odd-looking people or extremely mismatched people. Okay, the easiest thing would have been, like, there's an overweight person, right? Like, which is, you know, totally possible. And like with a super fit person, but it doesn't matter because they found love and it's not about the looks, right? At least in the beginning. But there wasn't any of that. Like, yeah, maybe there were some sixes who ended up with eights, but there wasn't like a huge gap. So if you're going in to see some real, like, whoa, this like hunchback is now with this model, like, okay, that's not going to happen. Just to clear that up front. Second of all, I think this is what really kind of hurt the show, and I think you're experiencing this now, three episodes in, kind of being in the doldrums of it, is like there's just so much meat, I feel like, in the pod section that they could have probably done five or six episodes just on that.
Yeah.
And following more people. But because, you know, they did it in like an experiment context where you're in the pods, then you're on vacation together, then you're moving in together, then you're getting ready for the wedding, and then you're having the wedding. And that's kind of like the last, you know, the conflict point where you say I do or you don't. You do see a lot of the conflict, but you don't see a lot of like, with the exception of a couple couples, you don't see enough of like the buildup. So you just see kind of like very surface level stuff. And then they're like, I love you. And then they're like fighting. And you're like, well, it's hard to like draw that through line between everything. So I had an issue with the structure. And then finally, I was talking about this with a coworker. I don't know why Netflix and Amazon haven't like just dove deep into reality trash TV like this. Like, mm-hmm. seems like it's the easiest thing to produce. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need any big names. You just get these like 20 schmucks. You pay them like 20 G's and they're happy to be filmed for everything and have their life potentially ruined or, you know, enhanced. And you just make a bunch of small bets, but instead they're bringing back Ozark season 3 and paying, you know, Jason Bateman, God love him, you know, a couple mil to make that happen. But want to throw it to you, Will. You got questions. You say you're kind of you're at the point. You like you were at Outsiders. Are you in or are you out?
Oh man, well, Outsider is finale's coming up. Boy, I'm definitely in on that. I got a couple things to get off my chest with you. I like what you said. The reality games, the reality shows. I just want to take a macro look at this. Can we go back to the old days where when they said what your job title was, it wasn't media influencer or it wasn't
content creator.
Yeah, content creator. Like, what happened to the blue collar construction worker or the foreman, yeah. or the mail worker, the mail post office worker? I mean, half these people are literally, it's like YouTube creator. Like, what? Like, you didn't create YouTube. Yeah, Insta-follower, Insta-influencer. So all the half of these people are that. Like, it's like
get Pat, the union electrician out there to get a couple episodes out there.
So I have another question about this show. So again, 3 episodes in. They focus heavily on like 4 couples. I mean, you mm-hmm. mentioned 6, so maybe they kind of branch out. How many episodes is it?
I think it's – we just watched the recap, so I think it's 8. So it's 7, like, of the show, and then 8.
All right, do they ever go further along to other people who didn't really, like, I don't know.
No, you're locked into these jokes for the most part.
Okay, because I don't know if you remember this, and I don't know if they ever touch back on this, and spoiler alert for people in the first episode who haven't even watched the show yet. First episode, there is, like, a montage, kind of, like, of the date. Like, it kind of goes through these people really, really quick, you know, to kind of, as they're going through the pods. And there's that one dude who just randomly says, "You sound like a black chick." Do you remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Do they ever visit that again?
No.
Who was that guy?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, that couldn't have been his only, flub.
That guy was made for this show. Like, that's what we want to see. This is supposed to be Teen Mom. Like, bring out the trash. Like, get the trash, leave it on the doorstep of Netflix, and then get to the cool stuff later on. Like, this is what I want to watch this for. When I saw that, I was like, we are in. I was like, oh my god, give me more of this. And no, that was it. Like, she was like, I sound like what? And he's like, well, you are, right? And then she walked out, and I was like, okay, well, totally could have gotten older with that. So, okay, so no more of that. Okay. I mean, I guess just broad picture, does something happen that grabs you back in? Because when I first said, I've only watched 3 episodes, you were like, ho, ho, ho. So, I mean, I guess that means there is something.
I will say this. Every couple that is in, that they do follow, has like a conflict point, which will be revealed over the next episodes. Following these people for a reason. And even the one that you don't think, they're like, these are the most boring people. They're going to be in love. Let's just move on with it. Even they have something that is kind of a twist. Oh. So there is, I would say just watch it, you know, be on your phone, be checking the Twitters, be jotting down things for the pod, but you know, just give it its run through.
Yeah, I will.
It's garbage television, but they
stay tuned for the Love Is Blind recap.
There are some twists.
I just want to point out one thing. For those listening to this podcast and been listening for years or for not, however long you've been listening to, just to kind of throw it back, I was talking to Jeff before saying, oh, I'm just looking at our recap from March 7th, 2019. And just to let everybody know what we talked about then, Jeff, 2 of your bullet points, the first one was Dating Around, the Netflix show that has to be played as a game/drinking game. So I remember you introduced me to that show. And then your second bullet point was The Bachelor. So March is definitely the time to talk about these dating reality shows. Just thought that was very
Dating Around season 2, coming out soon. Already being previewed on Netflix. Get up for it, Boyles.
I mean, like, That's just hilarious. I mean, that's exactly what we talked about. All right, so that is Love is Blind. I want to bring up one thing on my side of the rundown, and that is the Culvers. So we talked about this. I don't know if it was last year's March Madness or the year before when we did the fast food. We've done like three or four, so it's hard to remember which one we've done. I want to say it was 2 years ago, but yeah, whatever. Culver's was random, right? No, you know, you guys don't even know what that is. I only know because there's one that is about a couple miles from my house, and I still never been to it because it's never busy. Like, you just kind of drive by it. It's there. That's cool. But then, you know, last year it made all these couple lists. It was like, what is this? Oh, supposedly it's good. I did my own research. It was fine. Now, it's popping up on my feeds. The regional fast food place you don't even know about. Like, okay. And it's like, the place you need to travel to if you want a good custard. I'm like, okay, here we go again. So,
hot custard.
I think I'm going to have to do some more research on this. I don't know where this is coming from because, you know, you get the Raisin Cane's, which is winning awards all of a sudden, which we don't have one down here. Very jealous about that. Yeah. It just won best fried chicken or whatever, at least best fast food chicken. What are your thoughts on this phenomena? Is this, when it comes to Raising Cane's or a local place that maybe you haven't tried, do these get to you? Do these make you have to go out and try this? Whether it's, you know, buffalo fries from Taco Bell, is this something that you have to go try?
I mean, it's tough. I go more less off the list of like the internet and more of like just people that you know recommending things. Like, someone's like, oh, you got to go to TK Burger, which is like a very regional burger place here in Southern California. I guess according to Greg, the only other place that gets the same buns as In-N-Out. So it's like people were talking about it. It's like, okay, we got to just try it out, you know, see how it is. Gotta get that Cane's though. So I think the other part of what you're talking about though is something that I think is important, right? You gave Culver's a shot. It was okay. And now it's kind of getting more hyped and you're kind of like, should I give it another shot? Try a different menu item. Like, you're kind of like, do it. You don't seem like you're being compelled to do it again.
I mean, it's just this marketing is getting to me, but I just wonder, is this Culver's, like, is this some sort of viral marketing thing, or are these people, the Mashables and the Thrillist aggregate websites just getting paid by Culver's? It's getting to me. I really want to. I'm not going to. I'm holding firm because I got to drop a couple of LBs for this Miami trip. You know, I got to look good because I'm going all this
Miami.
Can't wait to go to this again. So I'm holding firm, but just curious if these, you know, strategic marketing ploys ever made you kind of drive out of your way for maybe a Doritos Locos Taco 3,000 miles away. You never know.
Ooh. I will say, we are going to Wendy's to try the breakfast next week. So.
Okay, so, all right.
There's that. I'm not driving day? Out of my way. There's like a million Wendy's around here. So
when is the big day?
Next Monday.
We're going as a team. Got a date plan and everything. Can't wait for that recap. Soccer conundrum, Jeff. What is this?
No, you know, it was there's a lot of chit chat, a lot of yip yap with the boys. We're currently on a 6-a-side team. We just lost in the semifinals. A lot of frustration. The team that we played was pretty garbanzo beans, and I would say the team, there's like five of us that are within our friend group, and then there's this other half that Muff used to work with these people, and then Gray got on the team, and so then we kind of like mishmash with them. So I wouldn't say there's tension, but there's split loyalties, if you will. So there's one person on the team, and everybody who's on the team knows who I'm talking about. Not going to call him out on the pod. Responsible definitely for four of the five goals. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. And it's questioning whether people, you know, should join up. But the conundrum is, do we continue to sign up with this team and, you know, maybe do some coaching and say, hey, maybe don't play defense anymore. Maybe just play forward. Or as Scotty called it, we need to have a winning mentality. And all I thought about was like, are you Russell Wilson out here? Like, we got to have unwavering language out here on the field, boys. We come here to win today. But the other alternative is, do we just form our own team? But the problem is, we could probably wrangle enough people. We just don't have a goalie. And I feel like the goalie is always like the linchpin of the team. So you've been on those raft pool teams, Will. What do you kind of recommend for our conundrum?
I mean, I don't know. You said it's a six? Sixes? What is it?
It's a goalie and five people on the field. Okay. So it's a smaller goal.
So is it constant? Are you barely fielding six every time? This weak link is always playing?
Honestly, this is the worst type of weak link on a team. He's got a big mouth. He's a very assertive person too. He's got a mouth on him, just like Troy, I believe. Who knows? So he's given a lot of halftime, pep talks, people are just not listening, shaking their head, kind of thing. And he always, when he gets off the field, he puts on like a full tracksuit. Like he has the pants and the jacket, but then like you look away and he's tore everything off and he's charging on the field, like subbing unnecessarily. Like
this guy sounds like you have to keep bitter. You know what? I'm all in on this guy. You know what? Look good, feel good, play good. That's you've heard that before. I think the Zeus like saying it. So you know what? I'm back in. I think he's the core of your team, to be honest. I think he is. picturing this right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you had a picture of him, it would be it'd be very good. He's quite a character. So, and he's not getting booted from the team for us.
I think
let's be honest, he's higher on the echelon of the manager. So
I know how that feels, being the weak link of a team and just constantly sub. I don't know. I think that's really all you can do is just constantly sub out so that it seems fair. But you're still getting your best six on the field at most points and during the game and when it matters most, crunch time. Even if you have to maybe sacrifice the first couple minutes of a second half so that in the last little bit it's time to sub this guy out. You know what I'm saying? I think strategery when it comes to the subbing, maybe that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
Or you can just not be a not be a B and just tell him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I guess we'll have to do some coaching.
Yeah, I have to figure it out. I mean, sometimes you just got to be a man and say, see ya, like I did to the Ritz-Carlton.
See ya, boy.
It's done. See ya. It's gone. Yesterday was my last day. Thank God. The Shaq was calling.
Hours, my
the Shaq was calling, and I'm back. My ears were ringing, excuse me. They were feeling it. And they called me back, so going back there starting next week, little 1 week hiatus, just driving some Lyft and Uber until then, and gonna open a new store for them. But man, just what a terrible experience. I mean, that might be the worst job I've ever had, and I'm comparing it to Baskin Robbins. I got really nothing else. That was really a bad job. It was a nightmare, and I'm just thankful to be out of there. Hotel discounts be damned. I can still use Tommy for that if I ever want it that bad, but to me, not worth it in the end, Jeff. So just, 6 months there, 6 months in hell. Thankful to be out.
Is Tommy's as bad as your experience?
No, of course not. He works at like a top, like we joked about the one I worked at. We called it like an extension. You know how like there's EXTs or like sublets of like a bigger place. It's like the smaller version or whatever. That's what we called it. We just said, this is the Ritz-Carlton EXT, smaller version of, because Tommy works at one, Dana Point, like on the cliffs of Laguna Beach he works at a top line. I've been texting him kind of comparing, this stuff, of course, will not be mentioned in depth on the pod, but for in general terms, texting about the workplace environment and possible money info and who it is, quite a difference. That place. I've talked to Greg, by the way, our lawyer of the pod, and possible litigation might be being brought forth. save it for the lawyering up pod. I'll tell you that right now. Litigation. What a great word.
Oh my word. Litigation pod.
Jeff, let's just get to some football and possibly fantasy baseball, and of course our March Madness tournament we will be starting this week. At least getting into it and kind of finding out, you know, some great work of arts in this one. But first thing I'm gonna tell you that I found out this past week. So maybe you knew, maybe you didn't. So Tony Romo gets signed or extended, whatever you want to call it, $17 million a year to work for CBS. ESPN was playing, you know, hard, or CBS and ESPN were playing hardball with each other trying to raise that price, and Romo's going to stick it out with his best bud, Jim Nance. But did you know that Tony Romo is Mexican?
I didn't know that. I feel like he should have been featured on a, like, what were those, Modelo commercial.
I mean, and he's not, you know, it's not really like, Mexican, oh, he's 10%, like, his name is Antonio Ramiro Romo. Like, that's his name. So his father is from Mexico, his grandfather's from Mexico. Like, I did this whole research about his biography because I had no idea.
Deep dive.
But it was weird because it's like, man, you feel like he would have been part of those, like, you know, Hispanic initiatives and all this stuff. Like, yeah. Like you just kind of mentioned Modelo, but all the, like, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month or whatever you want to call it. Never once. And you know, you always hear about, oh, the first, you know, Asian player in the NFL. I mean, I know there's, you know, I'm not saying there's no Hispanic people in the NFL, but it just, I just really think it could have been said more. And it just kind of boggled my mind. I was like, wow, this guy, like, he is all the way. And now I can kind of see it in a way, but still, it's just, didn't know if I could blow your mind or not.
Yeah. I mean, now that you say his, you know, name, it's like, come back to us, Tony. Like, Antonio.
From,
I don't know.
Musquiz, Coahuila, Mexico. His grandfather. Musquiz, Coahuila. That's where he's from. So there you go.
What province are we working in here? Is this north, south, east, west?
See, I'm looking at it right now. It is northeast. Northeast, okay. Mexico. The municipal seat lies at Santa Rosa de Musquiz. There you go.
Ooh.
So, and then that they went to San Antonio. So there you go. Tony Romo is Hispanic. So there you go. We're going to stay at CBS, but now ESPN is planning hardball to get Peyton Manning or Al Michaels. And this is a weird thing I saw. It said they were trying to trade with NBC. I don't know how that works. And I know you don't. But it's just saying they're trying to trade for Al Michaels. Does ESPN give up, like, Bob Lee or something? Like, hey, we'll give you Bob Lee, you know, and we'll take Al Michaels. I'm not sure how that works. But they're going for Al Michaels and Peyton Manning because, Lord knows, the Monday Night Football booth has really struggled. Do you want to see someone like Peyton Manning? They even said Philip Rivers, too, but Rivers is trying to play this year, and I imagine he will. But those are the kind of guys Monday Night Football is going for the big shots. Is there anyone in particular you would like to see, or – you know, they just need – you want to keep the booger action going.
I mean, honestly, no. That's got to change. But I don't necessarily have any other alternatives to throw out. I mean, Peyton, I don't know. He'd probably just be like another Aikman, right? Mm-hmm. Which would be – it'd be fine. It'd be, you know, raise it from a negative to a neutral. It's not – I don't think he's going to go like Tony Romo and just start, you know, being a savant and predicting every other play, like on the
who
fly.
Knows if he ever stops talking? Like, who knows if he's, like, dissecting the play, you know, like the quarterback is on the field, and he just keeps talking and the play starts. Like, he's just,
you
know, always checking the mic.
He's and cut the mic.
Just mid-sentence to stop.
Yeah.
Might be too much, actually. So that's, look at all these hot, more commentary rumors than actual playing rumors, except the big one. The big fish. I mean, there's a lot of big fish, but this is a big fish. Tom Brady. These rumors kind of came out of the left field for me, but it's all over the place. I mean, it's on our favorite pod. It's getting reported by New England, San Francisco. Tom Brady possibly going to San Francisco. I mean, it's where he grew up. But to just, like, the irony of it all, I think this is irony. Jimmy Garoppolo gets away from him finally, be it as it may, to go to San Francisco, gets to the Super Bowl. And who comes to possibly take his spot again? It's Tom Brady. Do you think there's any reality to these rumors? And is this even a good spot for Brady or even for the Niners to do? Because why, you know, Brady's 42 going on 48 or whatever. Didn't have the greatest year last year, but of course didn't have a good supporting cast. What do you see if this is actually something that happens?
Well, I think he's staying with the Pats. I mean, I get it. You want maybe some more money. You want some more support. But I feel like San Francisco, and the one thing, like, regardless of the talent of both quarterbacks, right? I feel like San Francisco is Kyle Shanahan's team and, like, his offense. And I feel like there would be, I don't want to say power dynamics, but it's like, I think there would be resistance to say, like, oh, Tom's coming in and he's kind of being more, you know, calling more of the shots and kind of trying to instill some of those Patriots, you know, Patriot way type stuff into the system. Whereas Kyle Shanahan is kind of like the face of the team. You know, he's the young up and coming new hotness this year. So I don't know if he would be willing to sacrifice that for Tom Brady when, you know, then it does come to the town. The upgrade mentally is obviously huge, but, you know, physically and in terms of arm talent, who knows?
Kyle Shanahan, is this, you know, is this a guy he wants maybe? Is Jimmy G really not good enough for him? I don't know. It's just came out of left field for me because you would think it would be to a team that needs that kind of star value or that needs a quarterback, to be honest. The 49ers don't need a cornerback for all, you know, things considered. People have been saying, you know, the Raiders, the Chargers, not the Buccaneers really, but a team that needs that kind of star power, the Titans, even though they kind of have a quarterback, they haven't signed him long term in Tannehill. Yeah. It just to have the 49ers come out of nowhere kind of shocked me for a little bit. But we'll see. We have about another week until free agency starts. I'm not exactly sure when it starts. A quick Google can solve that. But he's just going to be probably. I would imagine is he going to be the first one to fall? I don't know. Something with the Patriots I saw was they might trade for Andy Dalton.
Yep.
That could be a guy that he would be a guy.
You know, I love my Red Rocket.
Yeah, March 18th is when it starts, by the way. He'd be fun to watch. I mean, what would it take? Let's see, you're not a Patriots fan. I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm going to ask you this question. What would you rather see? The Patriots do great without Tom Brady, and Tom Brady falters wherever he goes, or the opposite? Bill Belichick tries to win it all with Andy Dalton, and they go 3-13, and Tom Brady does amazing with, you know, the Titans or the Niners or whoever. What would you rather see?
I would rather see Bill Belichick with Andy Dalton go 3-13.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go the opposite.
Into nothingness.
Oh, really? Okay. No. And you'd rather see Brady?
I don't have. I mean, Brady's fine. Brady's Brady, man. I mean, he's kind of a tool, but that's his brand, and that's fine.
I like it. I think I like that too. However, if it was Andy Dalton, I would love to see the Patriots go like 14-2. It'd just be like, suck on this, everybody. Like Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton and N'Keal Harry taking us to the Lombardi. I mean, that would kind of be pretty amazing, if you ask me. So that's what I'm kind of thinking on that front. But yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with Brady either. Brady's cool. Jeff, let's move on to some more, apparently some trading block stuff that Insider Jeffrey over here going deep diving on the Roto-World blurbs. Apparently Nick Foles and OBJ on the trading block again. I don't know. I mean, Odell, I don't know, man. I feel like he's in there for a while. They got if they still had Kitchens, it'd be different. I hope he stays with the Browns. I want to see that team kind of rebound from the disaster that was last year. But Foles, I mean, it looks like the Jags might stick with Minshew. Gardner Minshew, and kind of roll through with that. What do you think about these two guys, Nick Foles, OBJ, any other players that have kind of been going through in this offseason?
The thing with the Foles is the contract is atrocious. So who's picking that up? Like, the Jags are still going to have to pay, like, portions of it, I feel like. you know, I feel like the place he'd be most welcome is back in Philly.
Yeah, seriously.
Because, I mean, between the draft and the other quarterback free agents and how he performed last year, I mean, I think we were all saying it last year. He was extremely fortunate to land the contract that he did, because now he really never has to do anything again because he's rich. And the most streaky quarterback of all time. OBJ, I think I'm kind of with you. I think he'll stay. You know, I think the allure of him and Jarvis being together will be too much, and he'll at least want to test the waters with the new coach and see how it works out at least. And then I don't see him, maybe counter one of your points, I don't see him necessarily being there long term. Mm-hmm. I think he'll try and find a bigger market team eventually.
I think with so many quarterbacks, Nick Foles just being available now, veteran quarterbacks, and then you still have younger ones like Mariota who are out there, Tannehill if he doesn't, one of those two. You're going to have Jameis out there. Andy Dalton's going to be somewhere. Like, would you rather have Andy Dalton or Nick Foles?
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm hopping back on this Andy Dalton trade, by the way.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Come
back on.
Maybe it's fixer upper or something. I don't know, but Andy Dalton is back in my life, wherever he goes. So I'm back on that train, and you know, like I just mentioned, Mariota, Jameis Winston. You have all these rookies that are going to come out, especially you know Joe Burrow. I mean, he's supposed to be the game changer here. Kyler Murray, all these players. Derek Carr might be going somewhere. Who knows? Like, what's going to happen with him? It's just so many players that someone like Nick Foles is just kind of like a relic, the statue quarterback.
Yeah.
Back to Philly, that'd be amazing just because it just keeps going around and around with him. And, you know, Wentz, say what you will, he played a whole season last year. So, you know, good. Did he play the whole season?
Yeah. Maybe one game, or like he got.
Yeah, because didn't they? Game. No, they started Josh McCown, right?
Yeah, that was like later in the season, though, right?
Yeah. It was, so he had to play a little bit. But yeah, we'll see if he can get another backup for Carson Wentz. And that way they don't have to kind of go out there and spend money on a big quarterback. But I mean, yeah, trading for him would be tough. I think whoever did trade for him, the Jags would have to help pay for some of that money. Jeff, I brought up a mock draft because I don't know anything right now about the combine or other than the quarterbacks. None of these wide receivers that you kind of wrote about here, I've known about. I know Jerry Jeudy, his last name is Jew, but he's not a Jew. I know that. CD Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, I guess these are top two of the top right here. And I looked up a random mock draft from someone I've never heard of in my entire life. He works for NFL.com.
Why don't you give him a plug?
Chad Reuter.
Ooh, a little Chad Reuter.
Yeah, his picture looks like he started in Office Space. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So I want to see where he had these wide receivers going. He has C.D. Lamb out of Oklahoma going to the Raiders. He has Jerry Jeudy out of the out of Alabama going to the Broncos. Then we have Henry Ruggs out of Alabama going to the Jaguars.
That's what I was thinking of.
Ooh, the Ruggs. T. Higgins. That's a Clemson guy right there going to the Eagles. And that is it for the first round. All right, so those four. So the reason why I bring this up is because Jeff did want to know, rookie wide receivers, are they going to be drafted at all in fantasy? Because last year there was only one drafted in the first round. That was Marquise Brown. We went over this in the pre-pod. Don't worry, we're not pulling this out of our heads. And then we had A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf kind of in the second round. I guess we forgot about, of course, N'Keal Harry got drafted in the first round. But he did not matter at all in fantasy. So those are players who people picked up, you know, off waivers or drafted super, super late in fantasy. Although DK Metcalf, I kind of think people drafted him in fantasy. But
he's like a flyer, yeah, I feel like a 11th, 12th.
Literally and figuratively, he was a flyer. So these players, CD Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, T. Higgins, Henry the Rug, these players, are they going to be drafted in fantasy? So if we're saying they're going to the Raiders, the Broncos, the Eagles, or the Jags, do you see anything happening with these players? Because I kind of do, actually.
Yeah, I think those, like the Raiders, and, well, I'm going to hesitate to say anything positive about the Broncos passing game, but Cortland Sutton seemed like he turned it on last year, so that might be a more difficult spot. Raiders, who knows what they're doing at quarterback, but there's always going to be vacancy and opportunity. And from what I've heard, you know, CeeDee Lamb is like an AJ Green kind of equivalent, and Jerry Jeudy is more like a supposed to be the best route runner. So it could be like an Amari Cooper that had fantasy success, highs and lows with the Raiders. Whereas what's his name? The Rug, he's supposed to be like the fastest player, which, you know, if you look to the John Rosses of the world, don't necessarily mean anything and don't necessarily translate. So I see CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy being, depending on landing spot, fantasy options, at least for the initial draft. And then there'll be a couple in the later rounds that kind of just pop up, like you said, like your AJ Browns of the world.
Yeah, just kind of just to go off you, I was doing my own little research where I was saying that. And you're right. Jerry Jeudy is being compared as he's incredibly fast, they said. Best route runner, they're saying, not too many weaknesses. And he's really good at short yardage route running, which is interesting. They said CeeDee Lamb is actually not ranked too far behind Jerry Jeudy. They have him 1 and 2 really, really close to each other. They're both 6'1" or 6'2", which is great because whenever you get those smaller guys who are fast, those are the ones who kind of seem to falter, right? Yeah. Henry the Rug, he is 6 foot flat, 6 foot even. So he is the one who's got 4.25. 40-yard dash, 4.25. So that's pretty fast. It says that is pro day, though, so I don't know. That's very interesting. I don't know when this was written because I feel like the pro day hasn't happened yet. So is this in the future? I don't know what I'm reading actually anymore. Look at me. This is what happens when I go last second. But they said he is in the first round because of his speed and because he's got a potential to get a big play, big deep threat. I can't find anything on the Rug, though. Or that was the Rug. Excuse me, on T. Higgins, I'm sorry. So that's the other four.
Great name. Great name. That's what we can confirm.
Which one, Henry the Rug or T. Higgins?
T. Higg.
6'4". There it is. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
6'4", out of Clemson. 6'4", 216. So, I mean, Mike Williams, maybe? I mean, that came out of Clemson as well. Mike Williams, very similar, yeah. I would think. So I think depending on these teams, like you kind of mentioned, Broncos, they do have Cortland Sutton. That'd be an awesome 1-2 punch. If they picked one of these receivers, it's hard to tell who. You know, they're really going to get. We're going off of a mock draft from a guy who lost his stapler in Office Space. The Jaguars could use definitely another wide receiver. We mentioned a couple pods ago how I love DJ Chark coming up this season. So if they get another guy to kind of go along with him because they just have not been able to stay healthy. Marquise Lee has been done for the last 2 years. So I think I love Henry the Rug. Not gonna lie, start that as a nickname for him on the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah.
So if we can get him going on some team, the Rug and the Shark, dude, using a shark on the
shark.
Rug, aka a vacuum, be a good little run for them. So
look at that.
To bring it all around, because that was a lot of rambling. I think watching the success of these wide receivers last year, the late ones, the Flyers, even someone like Deebo Samuel who ran it a lot. Not just as a receiver, got the ball a lot, playmaker. You can definitely see people taking flyers on these. But I would not say anytime before the third round, fourth round. I wouldn't personally do that unless you're getting that huge buzz that happens in the preseason where it's like T. Higgins explodes for 6 catches and just 2 drives. And that would kind of make the hype train go up, I think.
Start rolling.
For these players. That was a lot of fancy talk, enough for nothing that we really know anything that's going on. Jeff, fantasy baseball, is it happening?
I mean, those who have said they're in are still in. There has not been any more recruitment efforts, mostly because I haven't tried. But you know what? If all else fails, we get 4 of us. We get some randos.
Yeah.
We just do it. We just do it live.
I have a couple people who might be interested as well. So
even
if it is just, you know, 6 people we know and then 4 randoms, who cares, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Although it would be hard with the money situation if we wanted to just throw like $10 in. Like how would we do it with just us 6 and whoever finishes higher? I mean, we could do that.
Why not?
We lose to a bunch of ringers. You never know. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes here, Jeff. We've already been rambling along for 40 minutes or so.
Rambling.
So we got to kind of nip this in the bud. But, you know, it's a big one. And you did your research. You typed your notes. I have my own personal notes about this. But this is the the March Madness of the best song in Disney animated movie history. And Jeff, when I saw this, I mean, your first note is where I was already at. And I thought actually that that song was a one seed. And I wanted to know where it finished in this one person. I don't have the results that the one person did because it was asinine. But when I saw that it was ranked 14th, there's so many questionable choices here. I don't understand, and this kind of goes back to everything we do these rankings on. One of these days we should just make our own with our own rankings and our own seedings, because I'll Make a Man Out of You as a 14 seed is just unbelievable.
Travesty.
Because this is a song that you can just start singing, and people know what song it is. They know what movie it is. They know the words. If they may not know all the words, but they know the chorus, they can picture the movie. I think that's key in this, because some of these songs I'm looking at and I'm like, yeah, I know it, but I don't remember when it was in the movie, if that makes sense.
No, yeah.
It doesn't resonate with me. So I'll let you start with this first underrated, and I'll give you my underrated if you want to go there.
So not I'll Make a Man Out of You, or a different one. Sorry.
Oh, I mean,
that was my first underrated.
No, I know. You go ahead. Just give me your take on that.
Live version of Mulan coming out March 17th. No, to your point. I mean, it better. I mean, a 14th. It's just the disrespect of a 14 seed. I think that's it. It ties in wonder. It's a catchy tune. It's an applicable song. You know, it's just great. Number the second one I had, Belle. I don't know if you remember this song. It's one of the intro tracks of Beauty and the Beast. It's a 6 seed, which I think it's severely underrated. The song is extremely clever, and the lyrics are really good. It's like they're talking. Smack on Belle because she's reading. They hate their rural lifestyle. They're poor. It's just quite clever, quite fun. It's got a good, catchy little zing to it.
Well, Belle, I mean, no, I do know. See, that's another one. I mean, but this one, what was the ranking on this? Was a 6 seed.
6 seed.
Yeah, I do remember. This is the very beginning. It's the very beginning of the movie. I know. Yeah. I know what song it is. Because I rewatched. Finally watched the live action one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I believe that is in that movie as well. Underrated though as a 6 seed, I mean.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
Fair play.
You got one more.
No, my final one. Go the Distance. I'll say first and foremost, Hercules is one of the most underrated Disney movies
100%.
Of all time. And the song is a great, I mean, it's a great song. It literally could have been, if Joe Jonas wrote Go the Distance, it would be a number one hit. I guarantee you that. Also the fact that the like title, like Soul Hercules Anthem didn't make it. It's, I mean, that is another like a banger of like undeniable banger. Didn't even make the cut.
Yeah, Hercules got a lot of disrespect here.
I mean, Go the Distance as a 4 seed? Come on. It's a strong, strong song. Who is it going up against in the first? I feel like it had like a fairly easy.
Which song? Go the Distance.
We'll get back to that.
It's like, I'll pull it over here. Go the Distance is going up against the Mob song.
Kill the Mob song.
From Beauty and the Beast, yes.
I don't remember that song.
Me either. We have to
go the distance. Is spanking them. A Dream is a Wish. Spanking that one. Get out of there. Circle of Life, I think, is its first actual contention in the whole March Madness. And we can get to thoughts on Circle of Life if you want. But Go the Distance, Hercules, underrated. Give me a 2 seed. Give me a 3 seed at the lowest, but a 4. Get out of here. All
right, you ready for this? Because I've thought a lot about this. I'm the one who sent this to you and Greg. Maybe we get his thoughts later on. There are so many songs that are ranked too low on this. And I'm going to start with my first one. Let It Go is a 2 seed. How is that not a 1 seed? I mean, listen, I'm not the biggest fan of the movie, but it's the damn near biggest song of all time, let alone biggest Disney song of all time. Listen, a 2 seed underrated? Yeah, you bet your ass. Because Let It Go is like it was the biggest song. It's still the biggest song, I think. In Disney history, the fact that that's not a 1 seed is insane. Okay, now we'll get to the real ones. I think I'm right about that, but, you know, whatever.
No, I couldn't disagree. I mean, You Got a Friend in Me is a fine song for the movie, mm-hmm. but does it stand alone? No, Let It Go. Idina Menzel, absolute banger.
Yeah, Azel Zadine. All right, so number eight, or I mean, this is, it kind of goes with overrated part of it. It's hard to do underrated without saying, well, this is an eight seed. Like, how is this not an eight seed? So yeah. An eight seed, for some reason, is Woody's Roundup, which...
Yeah, get out of here.
Listen, it's a song. It's a good song. I like it. You know, he's the very best. He's rooting his tunest cowboy in the wild, wild west. But it's, like, 40 seconds long. Like, it's... That's not even, like... I mean, I'm sure there's a full-length version.
Barely considered a song.
So the reason I bring that one up is because a 10 seed we have is Arabian Nights. And Arabian Nights gets the movie going. Like, you just start it. The movie starts with this song. You can't have that movie without this song. I mean, when we get to A Whole New World's a 3 seed, I don't know why. One Jump Ahead is a 12. I mean, okay, we can get to Aladdin later. I think Aladdin was vastly underrated in this bracket. But Arabian Nights, a 10 seed. I think what happened here is Toy Story is so elevated. And it's because it's going up against When She Loved Me, which is a 7 seed. And if you don't remember that song, it's what's her name? Wow, the girl. Jessie. I believe she sings this song. When she loved me. You're welcome. All right. You're welcome, everybody.
You'll be hearing that on the voice here. I'll be turning my
channel. How that is a 7 seed. Crouch. All these Toy Story songs are just like Woody's Roundup, an 8 seed. Friend Like Me is up there. Is a number 1 seed, which just that's unbelievable. So there we go. I mean, that's another underrated for me. I'll go one more for underrated. Man, there's a couple here that I wrote down, but I'm actually not too – I don't really – Now that I'm thinking about it. Oh, Prince Ali. I mean, there we go. Another line. That's what it was. Prince Ali. Prince Ali is a 13 seed. 13.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that's my favorite song in the movie. I mean, love that song.
When you can compare it. Okay. Oh, my God. I'll make a man out. He's a 14 seed. Prince Ali's a 13 seed. Let's look at the other 13 seeds. The Mob song, Kill the Beast, like you just mentioned, right? That's a 13 seed. You don't even remember, let alone what movie it's from. It's from, obviously, Beauty and the Beast, but, like, it takes place at the middle of the movie, maybe? Like, is it the end when they find him and they want to kill him? I don't know. I don't know when that movie is. Or that part. 13, Into the Unknown. What is that?
Into the Unknown. That's the new Frozen song.
Oh.
The new Idina Menzel banger. Which, the new Frozen, not as good as the first one. Yeah. Not as good, boys. Come on.
I think everyone's probably right on that. But I mean, we're comparing Prince Ali to that song. I mean, Mother Knows Best? That's, what is that?
No idea. No,
well, I mean, I'm trying to look because if you look at the colors are all the same for the movie. So I'm trying to find what other – I See the Light. What's that? When Will My Life Begin? Those are all from the same movie. So I don't know. But there you go. Those are my underrateds, Jeff. Give me an overrated one because I'm going to disagree with your first one. That's for sure.
First one. Oh, come at me. I am a
fan. Oh, my God. I didn't see your other one. I just saw your other over there. Oh, my gosh. Go ahead. Oh, my God.
First one. Overrated movie. Overrated song. I'm against Big Little Mermaid. All the propaganda there. Under the Sea. A number one seed. Okay. It's got some, you know, that island flavor to it, which I like. It's got those steel drums. It's got, I don't know who the actual singer was, but Shaggy did it in the most recent live version that they did of Little Mermaid. I would say it's the best part of the Little Mermaid, but as a one seed, I can't get on board with that. I think a two, maybe a high three, I can get on board with that. But I believe it's in the... You know, they're saying it's the third best song in Disney animated history if you kind of go with Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot, Animal Kingdom in that kind of staging order. I don't believe that for a hot second. Tell me I'm wrong, Will.
Just to give you a little research here, all those songs I mentioned earlier are from Tangled. When Will My Life Begin? Mother Knows Best, and I've Got a Dream. Like, okay. And I See the Light.
It's a fine movie.
Four songs from Tangled. When we get to the snubs list, that's we don't have one from some of these other ones. Under the Sea, again, it kind of meets my criteria from what I said earlier. Which, do you know when it takes place in the movie? Yes. Can you picture it when it's happening? Yes. Do you know most of the lyrics? Yes. I think Under the Sea holds up. I think it is a banger. It's such a banger that it's in video games like Kingdom Hearts. You have to play that song in order to beat the game or whatever it is. I don't remember exactly what you have to do. But it is, it's catchy and it's, you heard it yourself, you said it's catchy AF. I mean, I don't get the sense of stupid message.
I said kitschy. Well, kitschy. I don't know what that means. Got some kitsch to it. It just means like it's just, what's the message of the song? It's better where you are than kind of where you think you want to go. Like, I mean, we'll save the Little Mermaid rant for another day, I guess.
I think you just have a hate towards Little Mermaid, which is fine, which is fine. But I think it is a good one seed. And what would you replace? I mean, you have two one seeds that are overrated. Spoiler alert coming up. Name a song you would replace this as a one seed.
Well, I mean, if we could get over the committee's bias against Hercules, I put Goat Distance in there. We play Disney bangers for Kellen. I just go to the Hercules soundtrack. Oh, wow. And I just run that down.
All right, let's go to your next overrated.
Next overrated. It's a tale as old as time, true as it may be. And other than that, it's a pretty garbage song, okay? Beauty and the Beast.
Like, this might be the best pod we've
ever. I don't remember the other lyrics, but I'm trying to remember, like, all I know is tale as old as time, true as it may be. Da 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 da. Replay, replay, replay. Rinse and repeat for 3 minutes. Like, and Mrs. Potts, get out of here. Come on.
So I agree with you on this one, and the best part of this song is the second sentence you just said, a tale as old as time, when it's not, because the movie, the whole point is this guy is a beast and nobody likes him, and now a girl likes him.
Yeah,
so
you
it's
know.
A tale as old as 3 minutes. Like, do we not realize that in this movie? This love just happened right now. So it's not as old as time.
Yeah.
And yes, it's kind of a snoozer, as you can see with the songs I like, which is why I kind of like Under the Sea. I mean, it's not a snoozer. Let It Go, not a snoozer. Nope. I'll Make a Man Out of You, the exact opposite of a snoozer, which is maybe why it got ranked so low. So I agree. Beauty and the Beast, I would replace this one with Let It Go. Let It Go would be my one seed, overall one seed, because this is the overall one seed. Oh, you said Under the Sea was, I'm sorry.
Yep. No, you're right.
It is this one.
Under the Sea was the number three overall.
Number three, okay. This is the overall. This is the Duke. Well, not this year. This is the number one overall seed, Beauty and the Beast. And yes, I agree. I think I would replace it with Let It Go. That's the other one. So you got one more that, again, that I'm going to disagree with. Wow. So your last overrated song.
As you were going through and explaining your criteria, I totally understand why you disagree. I just, it's a whole new world, and it's a whole new world for Greg. I just don't like the song itself. It's like you're living in, you know, what is the Middle East in the Middle Ages, and you're a very rich person, and you want to go, like, you want to give it up. I don't even really remember the plot. Why did she want to give it up? She was just tired of being, like, married off to Jafar. Like, okay, sorry.
She wanted to be treated like a normal person.
Okay, fair enough. So she needed a whole new world rather than just, you know, be a man. I just think, you know, maybe I have a three seed. It's fine, you know. I just don't think it's the best song in the movie, and that's why I think I have an issue with it, is because Prince Ali and Arabian Nights were disrespected in a whole new world just because it's the Disney princess singing it gets bumped up.
I'm trying to think. Because I think I like One Jump Ahead. Like, I mean, there's a lot of songs in that movie.
I hated the One Jump Ahead in the live action version. Oh, it really bothered me.
I mean, I've seen the live action at Disneyland or California Adventure. Ooh. That's great. It's a great Aladdin one. I'm just gonna disagree. I think Whole New World is it's a tale as old as time. It's a whole new world. See, now that one is a tale as old as time, because this is literally the dark age, like you just said, it's a Middle East. Definitely old. Well, I guess maybe a rich person doesn't want to be poor, but I'll disagree. I think A Whole New World is perfectly rated. I'll go with overrated here. My couple. We already went over Beauty and the Beast, I agree with you on that one. I forgot which other one I mentioned earlier, and I was what was it? Woody's Roundup. That was another overrated song. Here's one that's overrated, and yet it's only a 6 seed, but I still think it's overrated, and that's Cruella De Vil.
Yep.
I just
agree.
You know,
it's a fine song.
It's a song. It's a song.
It's a 12 seed
in a movie. Exactly. It's a 12 seed. It's a double digit on this one, and there's so many more I could replace with this one because I feel like that's only fair. What would I replace it with? How about any of these other freaking Lion King songs? Like, what is happening here? Okay, Circle of Life's a 1 seed. I get it. Be Prepared. That's a banger. Just Can't Wait to Be King. Oh, I guess. First of all, that's a 6 seed. That's outrageous. So think about that. Cruella De Vil and Just Can't Wait to Be King. Those are both the same seed. Get out of here with that.
It was a Broadway hit that is continuing to run. When have they done 101 Dalmatians? And he, you know, made an entire musical out of that. Get out of here.
Well, let's see if they do, because that might be must-see, actually, in order to look at that one. Here's another one. How Far I'll Go. Please tell me, what is that?
That's Moana.
I
looked that up.
I was going to say Moana, but is it a number 2 seed? I'm going to say no. I mean, good for you. If it's the one that the girl sings, probably.
Yes.
I don't know. So good for you. You sang a song. You were 11 years old or whatever. You probably get a bump from The Rock. I get it. But, you know, it's not who you're with. It's how you play. And I think that should be more towards the 7-8 seed. I get it. It was a hit song, a hit movie. Good for you. But it just doesn't resonate with me. I don't think it's something that, like, I didn't even know what movie it was from, to be honest. I had a hunch. But, when again, my criteria is huge, huge here. And it doesn't meet the criteria. Other than that, I think you have random ones in here, like Whistle Stop. What is that? I don't know. Ooh Da Lally. These are all from the same movie, I think. Ooh Da Lally. And then there's Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, which is not really, doesn't really resonate with me.
Zalakazoo, a zippity boo. We just made this song up. Get out of here.
All right. So now those are, now let's go to the snubs, because one is, there's a huge snub, and you wrote it down, kind of. I don't know what. I see what you did there. Eye to eye. Okay, I get it now.
That's how it was written on a website when when I was like, what is it? Oh, eye to eye. Yes, eye to eye. Absolute snub. Goofy movie.
What about isn't it Stand Up? Isn't that the other song, or is that the same song? Stand Out. Stand Out was the song I'm thinking of, unless that's called Eye to Eye.
Eye to eye. Eye to eye.
No, it's definitely
I don't know. I just do it with the dance thing.
Above the crowd, even if you got a shout out. Yeah, that's Stand Out.
I think that's a different one. We'll add that one too.
Oh, the whole Goofy movie got snubbed. Eye to Eye by Tevin Campbell. Oh, he sang all these songs, by the way. Oh, yeah.
Tevin Campbell.
Oh, he sang Lester's Possum Park. Oh, no, he didn't. That was somebody else. Remember that? The Possum Park? Oh, yeah. Powerline. Eye to Eye. Okay. I mean, Goofy movie just is a huge snub in here. I think they just went with too few of movies. They have like 4 or 5 songs from a bunch of different movies.
Yeah.
You have 64 to choose from. Let's go to the doldrums. Go to what, like Princess and the Frog? I don't know. Go to some Emperor's New Groove. I don't even know if there's any songs in that movie. Go, you know, reach out. Make some choices. Make some bold moves. So we got Eye to Eye and Stand Out from a Goofy Movie. You got a couple more here.
Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride from Lilo and Stitch. Again, a song that probably could be on the radio. And the other one was Poco Loco. I don't know if you've seen Coco. Great movie. Highly recommend it. But Remember Me is kind of just, I mean, that's supposed to be the hit and the anthem. I find the song quite, not great. Poco Loco is like he has to do a talent show and everyone else is doing Remember Me. And he does this Poco Loco song. It's got absolute catch. You can find yourself just dancing. Let's do some mariachi to it. Oh, it's great.
I agree. I think Goofy Movie.
That's all I got to say. Well, I mean, we don't need 4 Tangled songs. I mean, we can all agree on that. We don't need 4 Tangled.
I believe we can agree on that. I think I'm going to fill out this bracket, and we will reconvene next week. I'll ask Greg to kind of contribute on this. I think he will. He'll hear this, and he'll immediately text us right away and let us know how wrong we were on everything. We'll do that next week. Because this is the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Go listen to that Hercules soundtrack, Jeff. Do what you gotta do and listen to it.
I'm going to go do that right now. And I'm also going to listen to Be a Man and just get a tear because of how low ranked it was.
I'll make a man out of you. Peace out.
Peace.